Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a document that, frankly, has one of the most evocative titles I have ever seen in a math paper. It's called The Heat in the Landscape.
It really does sound like a paperback you'd pick up at an airport bookstore, doesn't it?
Totally. I was thinking maybe a mystery set in the desert.
Exactly. But what we actually have here is a paper by Ballant Virag from the University of Toronto, published around August 2020.
And spoiler alert, there is no romance.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of heavy-hitting probability theory.
There is. And while it's not a romance, it is about relationships, specifically the relationship between, well, chaos and order.
Yeah.
It's about how all these random messy things like heat spreading or particles bouncing around actually create a consistent universal geometry if you just, you know, look at them the right way.
And that's the directed landscape from the title. It sounds almost mystical.
It does, but it's very concrete mathematically. And this paper, it's a big deal because it proposes a new way to prove that these different chaotic systems are all, deep down, part of the same family.
Right. The paper talks a lot about universality. I feel like we hear this word thrown around in physics, but help me nail it down here. We're looking at things that seem totally unrelated. Is that the idea?
Completely unrelated on the surface. Imagine you have two video screens in front of you. On the left, you're watching a forest fire spread, you know, the edge of the flame eating up dry grass.
Right, flickering and jumping forward.
And on the right screen, you're watching a microscopic simulation of particles shoving each other through a really narrow tube.
Okay, so fire on the left and a tiny particle traffic jam on the right.
To the naked eye, they look totally different. But mathematicians have believed for a long time that if you zoom out, I mean, way, way out and kind of blur your eyes a bit, the mathematics describing the growth of that fire and the movement of those particles becomes identical.
Identical, really?
They converge to the very same mathematical object.
And that object is the directed landscape.
Exactly. It's the holy grail geometry for this specific class of randomness. But proving that a fire and a particle jam are mathematically the same thing, that is notoriously difficult.
And that's our mission today.
Right.
We're going to unpack Virag's elementary proof, his word, not mine, and see how he connects the dots.
It's quite a mission.
So we need to meet the players in this zoo of random models, specifically the KPZ equation and something called the O'Connell-Yerr polymer.
It's quite a lineup, a casting call for the strange and random.
Let's start with player one, the KPZ equation. This is the OG, right? Kardar, Parisi, and Zhang, 1986.
The absolute classic. If you want to visualize KPZ, go back to that fire. Or even simpler, imagine you spill coffee on a napkin.
I have plenty of experience with that, usually on important documents.
Right. So watch the stain spread. The edge of that stain isn't a perfect circle. It's jagged. It's rough.
It moves outward, but randomly.
Yes, but it's not totally random, is it? It doesn't usually shoot out in a long spike on just one side. It stays somewhat round.
That's true. It has a certain texture to it.
Precisely. It's stochastic, which means random, but it follows rules. It has a specific kind of roughness. The KPZ equation describes how that roughness evolves over time. It's all about growing interfaces.
So KPZ is the growing interface model.
Got it. Now player two, the O'Connell-Yerr polymer. When you say polymer, my mind just goes to plastics. Tupperware.
That's a natural association. But in probability theory, when we say polymer, we usually just mean a path.
A path, like a route on a map.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Imagine you are a hiker at the bottom of a mountain range. But this isn't a normal mountain. It's a random environment. There are spots that are hot with high energy and spots that are cold.
Okay.
Your goal is to hike from the bottom to the top, but you want to collect as much heat as possible along the way.
So I'm not looking for the shortest path. I'm looking for the warmest path.
You're looking for the optimal path in a noisy environment. You have to twist and turn to hit all those hot spots, that zigzagging path you trace. That's the polymer. Okay, so the O'Connell-Yerr model is basically the math of finding the best route through a chaotic landscape.
In a nutshell, yes. It's about optimization in a random setting.
So here's the disconnect for me. On one hand, we have the edge of a coffee stain spreading out. On the other, a hiker optimizing a route. Why on earth would these two things be related?
That is the million-dollar question, and the answer is universality. Virag points out that despite the different physical descriptions, they share a defining geometric structure.
They share the same DNA.
In a way, yeah. The paper's main goal, specifically Theorem 1, is to prove that if you look at the free energy of these models, which is just a way of measuring their state, and you rescale it, they both converge to something called the KPZ fixed point.
The KPZ fixed point. It sounds like a destination. Like all roads lead to Rome, all random growth models lead to this one point.
That's a great way to put it. And the KPZ fixed point, it lives inside this directed landscape.
Let's talk about this landscape, because the paper introduces some terminology that is, well, it's pretty dense. It talks about an airy sheet. Now, is that airy like light and breezy?
It's actually named after George Bedell Airy, a 19th century mathematician. But breezy is a good way to think about it because it's not solid ground. Think of the directed landscape as a random geometry on a plane. The airy sheet is the ruler for this geometry.
The ruler.
But a really weird one. In normal geometry, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Here, the distance is defined by the airy sheet. It tells you the cost or the reward of moving from point A to point B.
The paper uses this notation that just stopped me in my tracks. It says f dot g equals sup of f plus g sup.
Sup. It's short for supremum, which basically just means maximum.
Okay. So why are we maximizing? Usually when I see math functions interacting, they're being added or multiplied.
This is the key shift. It's called metric composition. Remember our hiker?
The heat seeker.
Right. If you want to know the total heat collected from the bottom of the mountain to the top, you don't add up all the possible paths. You only care about the best path. The one with the maximum heat.
I see. So the math isn't summarizing the whole system, it's picking the winner.
Exactly. The airy sheet connects your starting point, function F, to your endpoint, function G. And it asks, out of all the possible ways to connect these two, which one gives the maximum value?
It's like Google Maps. It doesn't tell me the average time of every route from my house to the store. It just tells me the fastest one.
Spot on. And because the landscape is random, it's rugged, remember, that fastest route or maximum heat fluctuates.
The paper also mentions distance laws. Is that related?
It is. Distance laws are just the probability distributions. It's the math asking, okay, if I start with this shape, what are the odds that my best path stays below a certain value? If you can answer that, you've fully described the KPZ fixed point. You've captured the ghost in the machine.
Okay, so we have the coffee stain, the hiker, and this abstract map, the airy sheet. We know they are supposed to be related. Now, how does Virag actually prove this? He claims his method is elementary, but I'm looking at page 10 and it does not look elementary.
Elementary in higher math usually just means I didn't have to invent a whole new branch of calculus to do this.
It doesn't mean easy.
Definitely not easy. But his shortcut is brilliant. He uses something called BBP statistics.
EBP, an acronym.
Bake, Ben-Aris, and Pichet. It refers to a famous result from 2005 involving random matrix theory.
Whoa, slow down. Random matrix theory. We were just hiking, now we're in the matrix.
I know, it sounds like a detour, but stick with me. Random matrix theory studies giant grids of random numbers. Physicists use them to model heavy atoms. And it turns out, if you look at the eigenvalues, the sort of fundamental frequencies of these matrices, the largest one follows a very specific pattern.
The top dog follows a law.
Exactly, the BBP law. Now, here is Virag's stroke of genius. He looked at our messy models, the coffee stain, the polymers, and he realized something. You can think of these models as a collection of lines or particles. And the edge, the very top line, the boundary of the coffee stain, behaves exactly like that top dog eigenvalue.
Wait, so the edge of a spreading fire follows the same statistical rules as the top number in a giant grid of random numbers?
Yes, it's that universality again. And Virag realized, we don't need to understand the whole messy interior of the fire. If we can just prove that the edge, the boundary, matches the BBP statistics, then the whole thing must converge to the KPZ fixed point.
That's a massive hack. In a good way. It's like identifying an animal just by seeing the tip of its tail.
Or a tree by looking at a single leaf at the very top. If that leaf follows the BBP law, the whole tree is a KPZ tree.
So he focuses entirely on this edge. The paper calls it the edge process.
Right. The edge process, or EP. Imagine you have a bunch of drunk walkers Brownian motions stumbling forward. But there is a rule. They are conditioned not to intersect.
Like magnets pushing each other away.
Exactly. They repel each other. The edged process is just the path of the person on the far outside being pushed out by everyone else.
And the paper says these can be pointed.
That just means everyone starts at the same spot, like the starting gun of a race. They start together, then spread out.
Okay, so we have this edge process. We know it matches the BBP statistics. How does he use that to prove the connection? That's where he brings in the sandwich, right?
Yes. Theorem 2, the characterization theorem. This is the engine of the entire paper. He basically says, suppose you have a mystery model, like our polymer hiker. We want to know if it fits in the directed landscape.
Okay.
Virag says, Take your mystery model and mathematically sandwich it between two of these edge processes. Then you compute that metric composition, find the maximum path through the sandwich.
So he's squeezing the mystery model between two things we already understand perfectly.
Precisely. And the theorem proves that if your mystery model behaves correctly inside that sandwich, if it, you know, shakes hands with the edge processes in the right way, then it must be the KPZ fixed point.
That's incredible. It avoids having to derive the formula from scratch. You just check the boundaries.
It simplifies the problem enormously.
So that's the magic trick. But the paper doesn't stop there. It gives a checklist. Theorem 3, the convergence theorem. This felt like a recipe to me.
It is essentially a user's guide. Virag is saying, hey, do you have a random model? Want to know if it belongs in the directed landscape club? Just check these four boxes.
Let's run through them. Box number one, metric Burke property.
This is about symmetry. You know how A plus B equals B plus A?
Commutativity.
Right. This is a complex version of that. It ensures that if you apply operations in a different order, the statistical outcome is the same.
Okay. Box two, tightness.
That just means the system doesn't explode to infinity. It stays within a reasonable bounded range.
Box three, near linearity.
The system behaves roughly like a straight line on average. It's not curving off exponentially.
And box four, Brownian limit.
If you zoom in really, really close, does it look like that jagged, random Brownian motion?
So if a model commutes, stays bounded, is sort of linear, and looks jagged up close, and fits in the BBP sandwich,
then congratulations, it converges to the directed landscape. Proof complete.
I did notice one detail. The paper mentions narrow wedges. And it seemed like the author was sweating a bit over this.
The narrow wedge is a famous headache in this field. It's math speak for an initial condition where everything starts at a single, infinitely sharp point.
Like a laser beam.
Exactly. The basic theorems are often easier to prove if things are spread out to start with. But in physics, we really care about those singular events. Virag takes special care to note that, yes, his results do hold for narrow wedges. He patches that hole.
Speaking of things happening at the same time, did you catch the academic drama in the abstract? Independently, at the same time and place.
Oh, yes. Quastel and Sarkar, 2020.
They released a proof of KPZ convergence at the exact same moment Virag released this one.
A classic case of simultaneous discovery. The ideas were in the air.
But they didn't copy each other.
No, and the methods are different, which is the cool part. Virag's method, the sandwiching, is really good for polymer models, our hikers.
Yeah.
The Quastel and Sarkar method is better for interacting particle systems, the traffic jams.
So they climbed the same mountain from different sides.
And they left different ropes for the people coming after them, which is great for science.
I want to take a moment for the truly hardcore listeners.
Yeah.
Part five of the paper gets into the weeds with Brownian last passage. There's a technical layer here involving someone named Deeker and Warren.
Yes, a paper from 2008. It's a crucial big one block. We said the O'Connell-Yer polymer is messy. Deeker and Warren gave Virag a way to represent that complex model as a linear combination of non-intersecting random walks.
Why is that helpful?
Because non-intersecting walks are much easier to study. It's like taking a complex piano chord and realizing it's just three simple notes. If you understand the notes, you can understand the chord.
And the notes in this case are those edge processes.
Exactly. It allows him to use determinants tools from linear algebra to solve probability problems. It's a very clever way to bridge probability and algebra.
The paper also throws around terms like geometric RSK and Whitaker processes.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't go down that rabbit hole too deep, but it basically just shows that this isn't some isolated island of math. It's connected to deep structures that appear in totally different fields, even quantum mechanics.
So let's try to synthesize all of this. We started with a fire and a hiker.
Two very different random models.
We learned that they share a universal geometry.
The directed landscape.
And Virag proved this connection not by analyzing every single atom, but by looking at the edge.
Using BBP statistics as a fingerprint.
And he created a sandwich theorem that lets us test any model by squeezing it between these edges.
Resulting in a simpler characterization-based proof that unifies the field.
It's really all about connection, isn't it?
That is the core belief. Knowledge is valuable when it's connected. Before this, we had these isolated islands, random matrices here, KPZ over there. This paper builds the bridge. It says you are all part of the same landscape.
And it does it with a certain elegance.
Complexity is easy. Simplicity is hard. And this paper strives for a kind of simplicity.
Now, before we let you go, I have to bring up the final thought. The cliffhanger. The paper mentions that something is still an open problem.
Ah, yes, the lingering mystery.
We know that the distance laws, the probabilities of the best path, match the KPZ fixed point. The shadows look the same.
Right. We know the statistics, Matt.
But the paper says, it is an open problem whether this kernel determines the law of the airy sheet. What does that mean?
It's a subtle but profound worry. We know the rules of the game, the transition kernel, are fixed. But the airy sheet itself is a random function. Is it possible? Is it theoretically possible that two slightly different random landscapes could produce the exact same transition statistics?
Like two different mountains that somehow yield the exact same hiking times for every possible hiker.
Exactly. Have we truly seen the mountain, or have we just measured the hikers perfectly? We've proven the data matches, but are the objects generating the data identical in every single geometric way?
So we might have found the map, but we're not 100% sure we've seen the territory.
A little mystery to keep the mathematicians up at night.
And to keep us coming back for more deep dives. That's it for our look at the heat and the landscape. Hopefully, we helped you find a little order in the chaos today. Thanks for listening.